Welcome, greetings, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, weinihau, namaste, konnichiwa, guten tag, bonjour, half a day, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan. Well, from the left coast of the McNugget Pharmaceutical Vivisection Prison Industrial Complex, with cheese, of the Corporation of the United States of Listeria, it's Go Vegan with Bob Linden, the world's first and longest-running vegan program in commercial radio and beyond. And beyond these days means archived at GoVeganRadio.com and podcasting. Also, see GoVeganRadio.com for the podcast. And this hour, your radio, your PC, your laptop, your iPod is being veganized for your protection. And yes, because this is the only hour in mainstream radio guaranteed to be free from a McDonald's commercial. Guaranteed to be free from a McDonald's commercial.
McDonald's, yuck.
It is safe for children to listen. And while, yes, because this program is on commercial radio, even we at times must pander to a lower common denominator to garner the huge ratings that we often do garner, you know. But the pottiest mouth that we do get here is vegans are number one at number two.
Oh, new one. I know, and you're going to be the hottest controversial vegan talk show host on the face of the planet.
Well, that's why we do the potty mouth thing here. But I do apologize for taking the show into the toilet. But, well, vegans are number one at number two, and, you know, we've backed that with scientific evidence on this show in the past, and apparently that is meaningful information to a very large stuck-up population out there. And actually, I was shocked by how infrequently those who are, not number one at number two go. So I would say, well, go vegan. I see that message everywhere. You know, I see it when I see Ex-Lax commercials on TV. I think, why? You know, and you can go vegan. I just see that message everywhere and everything. And in a way, that's what amazes me about the vegan movement, how people everywhere in all walks of life are into pushing the truth. And yes, if the word vegan is new to you, vegans are the ones attempting to live the most ethical life, the most healthful life, the most environmentally sustainable life by not eating or wearing anything with any ingredients derived from animals. That's right. No cheese, no butter, no honey. No refined white sugar, please. You know, that's filtered through cow bones. And no, my shoes aren't leather. I'm not wearing wool. No leather, no silk. No animal exploitation, please. And so many people are taking to pushing this most important of all messages. And I can only think of Stephanie's Bakery in San Diego, the owner there who, you know, went vegan at the age of 5 when she was chewing chicken. And finally, recently, her father at the age of 65 went vegan, saying, oh, I finally see, you know, that it's the truth of life. And many people are saying that it is the life-saving, earth-saving message. And we hear it from bodybuilders and, you know, like Kenneth G. Williams, champion bodybuilder who's vegan. We hear it from actors and actresses and award-winning nationally syndicated cartoonists like Dan Peraro of Bizarro fame, who will be on today's program in just a few minutes. And one of the most convincing presentations for going vegan is the Traveling PETA Roadshow, the Animal Liberation Project, which you can see tomorrow at UCLA. And I was really surprised to hear about the controversy that erupted at UC Berkeley last week when a group of African Americans objected to the juxtaposed imagery. And, of course, Bill O'Reilly jumped all over it with accusations of racial insensitivity targeting PETA. And, of course, O'Reilly didn't present the PETA perspective. So today on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, the PETA perspective. The PETA perspective, huh? All those years I spent in broadcasting school trying to lose that accent from the Bronx, putting R's where they belong, taking them out where they don't belong. Money down the drain. Anyway, the PETA perspective today with the PETA traveling spokesperson with the Animal Liberation Project. And look at that. Yes, after all of these years, after we were demonstrating years ago together in San Diego, after we went about creating events together, such as San Diego Fall Fest, and then eventually World Fest in Los Angeles, it's good to see that. Sangeeta Kumar still can't stay out of trouble, so we'll talk to her about the controversial traveling road show, the Animal Liberation Project, which travels to UCLA tomorrow. And as I mentioned, stand by for Dan Peraro. He has a new book out, and he's doing a comedy tour, kicking off in Hollywood and then moving up the coast to the San Francisco Bay Area, and even north of that to Oregon and to Seattle. And details will be coming up on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, the program that has to bribe radio stations to play it by giving them money. You know, free speech is expensive. But this is the radio program that fits the lifestyle of today's bribocratic corruptocracy. As you may not know, this program does actually have to bribe radio stations to broadcast it. Right now, the general manager of the Quake in San Francisco is complaining to me. He just told me his refrigerator is packed with jars of Vegenaise and the station will no longer accept it as payment. So the only other acceptable forms of payment are, well, it looks like Halliburton stock or cash, okay? So once again, I must urge you to make a tax-deductible donation to this vegucational radio program. Go Vegan with Bob Linden is a, well, Go Vegan Radio is a project of 501c3 International Humanities Center. So you can make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio and mail it to P.O. Box 40246, San Diego 92164. Or you can donate online at goveganradio.com, where the show is archived and podcasted. And please patronize the sponsors on this show who advertise their vegan and cruelty-free products here. Visit the sponsor page at goveganradio.com. And what? No bush bashing on today's program opening? We've done that so that if you have any friends who are rich repub all cons, I mean, rich repub oil cans, who have the money and would want to make a donation to an animal-friendly program. I must say, at the Genesis Awards, and by the way, Dan Peraro is always winning Genesis Awards, you know, for those who support animal issues in the media. But Ben Stein was there, and you know, he's a dog lover, and we actually had something in common. Our love for animals, and then, you know, then it disintegrated from there. We'll see if that interview is saved, and we can get to it close to the time when the Genesis Awards play on Animal Planet. So, it looks like we have a good show today. If I get out of the way, it's Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Thanks for listening. You can reach me at 818-623-6477 or email me, bob@goveganradio.com. Thanks for not eating or wearing animals. Go vegan. They're the royal family, king of the oil, add a W, it's king of the world. Draft SUV drivers and meters,
okay.
First. Give me the mic back, yes. Thank you, Gary. Well, Leo, the regular studio engineer, isn't here today, but I go easy on Gary because Gary collects the money for the radio station here, so I have to be nice to him. So we have the we have Gary in for Leo today. See, Leo makes it look easy. He presses the buttons and things happen. We're ready for that? Okay.
Prevention. Yet there it is, page 194 in Stroke Free for Life by David Weber's MD, Chair, Cerebrovascular Diseases, and Director, Stroke Research Center, Mayo Clinic. And who would know better about a Mayo alternative? Try Veginase, now in organic. Available at Follow Your Heart, Canoga Park, California, and natural food stores everywhere.
Yes. Yes, and I was at the Natural Products Expo this past weekend in Anaheim, and of course everybody's always gathered around the Follow Your Heart booth there. All the food is so great, and oh, Follow Your Heart is going to be coming out with an unbelievable vegan sour cream soon, and we were enjoying it there. And well, don't forget that also from Follow Your Heart, you get vegan gourmet cheese alternatives. They melt, so you can have enchiladas and pizza and nachos, all of that, all of those great comfort foods, but none of that scary dairy. Also from Follow Your Heart, chicken-free chicken. Stop giving your family the bird. Give your family chicken-free chicken. And organic vegan dressings from Follow Your Heart. Those varieties are creamy miso ginger, balsamic vinaigrette, and Italian vinaigrette. IQ Gary. Yes. What you got there? Okay. Bring it back to Bob, huh? Okay, back to me. Okay, so I'd like you to become aware of Health Force Nutritionals. This is a company that can really make a difference to your health and help you cleanse, heal.
Still eating meat? How 20th century?
There you go, okay.
Don't want bird flu? Maybe you shouldn't eat birds.
There we go. There are the drop-ins we know and love between the commercials from the advertisers we know and love. Anyway, I'd like you to become aware of Health Force Nutritionals. This is a company that can really make a difference to your health and help you cleanse and heal and rejuvenate. Dr. Jameth Sheridan is an expert on healing and on health and in demand and great lecturer. He appears on the show quite frequently. In fact, it's about time to have him on again, maybe the next couple of weeks. And he wants vegans to be the healthiest people on earth, as they should be. And Health Force is a totally vegan company. The main superfood product produced by Health Force is Vitamineral Green, containing 60 to 70% more superfoods, costing the same as others on the shelf, but offering significant nutritional advantage. It was designed to be the most nutritionally dense superfood ever offered, and you get a full spectrum of naturally occurring, absorbable, and non-toxic vitamins, minerals, including calcium and trace minerals. No synthetic or isolated nutrients. What you get from Vitamineral Green are all the essential amino acids, and that's how you get your protein, antioxidants, fatty acids, chlorophyll, fiber, tens of thousands of phytonutrients, and lots more. Visit healthforce.com to see. You know, usually when a product has a list of ingredients a mile long, that's a warning sign, but on a product like Vitamineral Green, whoa, look at what wonderful ingredients are there. And from whole leaf barley grass, whole leaf wheatgrass, alfalfa leaf juice, broccoli juice, kale juice, spinach juice, cactus and dandelion and burdock root, and all the good stuff, huh? It's like 18 land vegetables, 2 aquatic vegetables, algae, probiotics, enzymes. Well, you're going to be impressed with Vitamineral Green from Health Force Nutritionals, who also give you greener grasses, a dense combination of nutritional grasses, truly natural vitamin C, digestion enhancement enzymes, non-GMO lecithin powder, nopal cactus, and for your animal family members, green mush. So visit healthforce.com. Yeah, okay. And we'll stay with me here. And here's a novel idea for a story. Animal rights. Yes, just published the first animal rights. See, maybe Leo is going to get a raise when he comes back now. See that? It's not as easy as it looks to produce a radio show. A novel idea for a story, huh? Animal rights, just published. It's the first animal rights novel. It's called Animal Instinct. The author is Dorothy H. Hayes. Herself a vegan for 20 years, a former journalist, staff writer, and public relations director for a national animal protection organization. And her novel, Animal Instinct, is the story of a savvy reporter waking up to her true calling, and that is crusading for animals. She lands a job in the animal rights movement, and the novel takes us through the protagonist's trials and tribulations, from personality issues with her burnt-out, tyrannical boss. Oh, please turn off all headphones when recording the show, please. So she has personality issues with her dysfunctional boss and at People Against Animal Cruelty, and then there are issues related to the animal rights movement, which is often fragmented. And then we see unifying issues like promoting vegetarianism in a meat-eating world. And can Eleanor, the reporter turned animal activist, change the world, save animals, find true love, even with the browbeating of an oppressive boss? And what's the surprise outcome? Well, read the novel. It's Animal Instinct by Dorothy H. Hayes. You can order at iUniverse.com, or you can call 1-800-AUTHORS, or you can go to the website and read a bit of the book itself, AnimalInstinctNovel.com, AnimalInstinctNovel.com, and also order it on Amazon.com, where you can read 5-star reviews of Animal Instinct. Music, please, maestro. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, and just want you to know there's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for you, a portrait of a family member, or you, or a loved one, by one of the greatest artists of our era, Peter Max, with proceeds helping Go Vegan Radio. So get in touch with me if you're interested in a portrait by Peter Max. Email Bob at goveganradio.com or call me 818-623-6477. My thanks to Gary for filling in today for Leo on short notice. And I can't yell at Gary if there are any mistakes, because Gary's the one, you know, if you don't send in your donation or the advertising check doesn't arrive on time, I have to beg Gary to let us go on the air and wait for the money to come in. So Gary is doing like the best job on audio that I ever. Well, let me give an hopefully Gary, we're ready to talk to Dan? Yes? Okay. So let me give an introduction to a man who needs no introduction. I actually plagiarized it from his own website, bizarro.com. So let me quote myself quoting from the website then. Born many years after the assassination of Julius Caesar, Dan Peraro began his cartooning career sometime during his own lifetime. His syndicated cartoon panel, Bizarro, appears in well under a million newspapers daily. Peraro resides in the Northern Hemisphere with billions of other people. That pretty much narrows it down. He was a meat eater until 2002, and actually, while it's under a million newspapers, it's, about 250, and it's been the National Cartoonist Society's best newspaper cartoon panel 3 years in a row, I believe, and Bizarro has been in syndication since 1985, and now distributed internationally by King Features Syndicate and Sunday newspapers and daily, including the LA Times. Hi, Dan. How are you?
I'm very good, Bob. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. What's going on in your world?
Oh, nothing.
Nothing? Okay, well, thanks for being here today, and drive carefully.
Thanks for having me.
Drive carefully, on the way home. And this is a wonderful life you have. I mean, looking at the world in a bizarre way and then doodling about it and getting paid for it and winning awards.
It is. it is actually a very nice life, and it keeps me out of prison or worse, a cubicle. So I cannot complain.
Were you a good artist as a child? I was doodling as a kid, and then I was discouraged from that. I would say, pay attention in physics class. F equals MA. That doesn't mean anything to me. If I would have continued with my doodling, maybe I would have done something productive.
Yeah, I was always a good artist. That was always my favorite thing to do. I was almost born drawing. I'd lay around the house drawing pictures long before I could read or write. And fortunately, my parents recognized when I was young that I had a lot of ability for it, and obviously a lot of desire to do it. So they always encouraged me until I got to, became a senior in high school and started talking about a career in the arts, and then they started trying to...
Please go to medical school, Dan.
Yeah, they started trying to dissuade me from making such a terrible financial mistake. I think my mother's exact quote was, "It's fine, that's great, be an artist, but have a degree in brain surgery to fall back on." That was her big... her battle cry was, "Fall back on." She always wanted me to have something to fall back on. Fortunately, I beat the odds, and I managed to make a living in the arts without having to fall back on anything.
I'm
not dead yet, so it remains to be seen. She may be right. Someday I may need that other job.
Yeah, I had a successful career in radio, and now when I fall, there's really nothing to fall back on except like hard concrete, it seems, at the moment. So how did Bizarro come about? Were you doing other cartoons and prior to that, or?
Well, I wasn't. When I was in my early 20s, and I was looking for a way to make a living as an artist and trying to disprove my mother's theory, I got into commercial art, which I disliked a lot for all the obvious reasons. It was nice to be able to draw pictures for a living, but drawing pictures of cosmetics and handbags was not what I wanted to be doing for a living, at some point, I got the idea that I think I read an article about a cartoonist, and I thought, wait a minute, those newspaper cartoons, maybe that would be a way. So I started drawing cartoons and seeing if I couldn't, and sending them off to syndicates and seeing if I couldn't attract some attention in that way. And it actually took me a couple of years of that before I started getting positive phone calls and saying, we like what you're doing. Let's see more of your work, and at some point maybe we can work you into the lineup, which they did. And I've been doing that ever since.
Who worked you into the lineup first?
This was a very small syndicate out of San Francisco called Chronicle Features, which was started at San Francisco Chronicle. And they've long since been bought up by one of the larger syndicates, Universal Press Syndicate. But I was with Chronicle Features for 10 years, then I was with Universal Press for a while, and now I'm with King Features in New York.
Mm-hmm. And that's, 250 or more newspapers?
Right.
So at least 250 people see your work on a daily basis then.
That's right. So. Assuming one person in each town picks up a newspaper, I've got 250 fans.
So have there been any highlight cartoons for you that you say, wow, and you're allowed to have a political point of view, huh?
Well, I'm not allowed to do that, but I do it anyway, as so many people have in recent years. I can't explain it, but I've just found in the last, about 6.5 years, about 5.5 years, I've begun to feel that there are some important political issues that need to be brought up. So I've begun putting political content in my cartoons. With cartoon strips, the way it works is that with cartoon strips like Boondocks and Doonesbury, they're sold as politically charged cartoons. So the editors know what they're getting. And they're not surprised when they get controversial cartoons, and they're not surprised when they get deluged with phone calls or email or whatever from angered listeners. But then when they buy Bizarro, it's really supposed to be just a humor cartoon. So when I do the political stuff and people get angry and start calling their editors, well, then the editors are mad at me because they've lost a day's work trying to talk right-wingers, down out of the tower. Mm-hmm. So, that ends up happening from time to time, and I have to be careful. It does it represents a little bit of a career risk for me to keep doing that, and so I really kind of have to pick my battles. I try to do it
In the Saturday paper when maybe the owners of the newspapers aren't reading it? Or
Yeah, it's just a, a weekend. I guess, you know, I hadn't thought about that. A weekend would be safer because they, when they call the newspaper office, they're just going to get an intern or an underling.
Right, so Saturday should be the real political day.
although, the political ones, the ones that are politically charged tend to be the ones I'm most proud of, and I like to pack those on Fridays. Because that is, statistically, that's when most people will buy a newspaper and read it, probably just for the entertainment guide.
I would have guessed Sunday, but what do I know?
Yeah, the Sunday also. Now, the Sunday comics, that's a whole other deal. You know, the editors, they because they're printed in color and they're sent in way ahead of time, they don't have time to look at the comics and change their minds if they don't like what's in there. And everybody wants their kids to be able to enjoy them. So if you put controversy on a Sunday, the poo really can hit the fan. Those comics are supposed to be a little more family-oriented.
I see.
Although I still do it.
And you still, and you have animal rights issues that appear in your cartoons also.
I do. I've been doing that quite a bit in the last 4 years since I was converted and saw the light. And but you know what? The nice thing is that those cartoons don't end up being as controversial with the general public. They aren't the ones that I get a lot of hate mail over. So that actually is, I think that's good news both for, because, no editor has ever called me and complained that I'm doing too much animal rights stuff.
Oh, good, then do it every day.
If I could think of it, that's the other problem, is that it's really tough finding ways to make animal cruelty issues humorous.
I've been trying for 5 years. Yeah, I've been trying for a laugh for 5 years.
It's just not a funny subject. So I have to wait for the muse to hit me before I can put it. I can't put cartoons that are just, I'm sure I've made this mistake in the past, but you can't draw a cartoon that is just sobering and preachy and expect people to continue to read and enjoy your feature.
Right.
So, you have to be careful what you do, and I have found little ways here and there, little nooks and crannies of humor where I can, angles that I can use that make it informative and amusing, and it's actually worked. I've had a fair number of readers over the years write to me and say that because of those cartoons, they look at my website, they see some of the animal rights stuff that I've got on there, and my basic arguments for veganism and against animal-based diets, and they've decided to rethink their lifestyle choices. So I've actually converted people with humor, which is a great feeling.
That's great. Well, at your website, which is bizarro.com, bizarro.com, there are many samples of your animal rights cartoons. I think you had close to 20 of them on the website there, and very cute. I mean, you see two cows talking about a farmer walking away. Then they're going, kind of questioning. He seems like a nice enough guy, but they're questioning the material of his boots. Things along those lines, or the hamburger helper truck slams into the Acme Meats, freeing the cows. What could be more helpful than? I liked. There were two women apparently at lunch, and then one was saying, "Well, I've softened in my old age. I used to throw red paint on people wearing fur. Now I just spill red wine on people eating meat." Okay, so.
Right.
A lot of cute ones there. And we have a new book coming out also, I believe.
Yeah, I do. I'm really proud of this book. This is it's a retrospective of my entire career, and it has cartoons and fine art, sketchbook arts and commercial art from my earlier days. It has a long essay, autobiographical essay. And I have an entire chapter of politics, political cartoons, and those kinds of and my views on those. And I have an entire, pretty large chapter about animal rights and veganism and a lot of those cartoons. So my homies in the animal rights world are going to love this book. And it also makes, I'll tell you, the nice thing is it makes a decent educational or under best circumstances a recruitment tool. Because it really covers it covers my career from more of a layman's standpoint, and people are going to enjoy the book just because it has a lot of great cartoons and some funny essays, And then you get to the stuff about how I converted to veganism, and you're thinking, you know, I mean, I think that most people are going to look at it and say, this is a reasonable, rational guy who used to think that all animal rights people were hippies with too much spare time, and suddenly he converted. Now, what made him change his mind?
You realized you were a hippie with too much spare time?
yeah, well, no, I didn't. But, honestly speaking, if someone had told me 5 years ago that I was going to be an outspoken animal rights advocate and a vegan, I would have laughed in their face, covered them with barbecue sauce, and eaten them. Because I was a blissful meat eater back then. I was raised eating meat, as most Americans are, and I saw nothing wrong with it, and I thought I was a compassionate guy. I liked dogs and cats. I would help a wounded bird that I found in the yard, all those kinds of things. But then I didn't give a second thought about what I was eating. Of course, I was raised in Oklahoma and Texas, so...
it doesn't really matter where you're raised in this country. You're generally a meat eater, and
right,
I won the White Castle hamburger eating contest as a kid, so I didn't expect to host a vegan radio show ever in my life. You know,
yeah, it's amazing where life can take you.
Yeah.
But, you know, a little education goes a long way. It's all it took for me was I began dating a vegan, and she was not into proselytizing so much, but I did come across information based on just being around her. I heard things and I saw things, and one day she said, "You want to take a trip up to Farm Animal Sanctuary with me? They've got a bed and breakfast there and some animals, and we can, you know, and it'd be fun." And I thought, well, yeah, that sounds cool. And I went up there, and within one day I was vegan. I learned as much about factory farming as I ever want to know on that day, and I met a lot of these, I met cows and chickens and pigs and geese and turkeys and sheep, and I realized that they were not just stupid eating machines that didn't care whether they lived or died the way I had always imagined them. And I was horrified. I thought, man, I can't believe I've been subsidizing this kind of cruelty to these kinds of creatures purely because they taste good. And I stopped. And that was all it took, was just a little education.
Yeah, we're such victims of propaganda of the meat-eating world that, you know, I used to think that chickens willingly jumped into the frying pan, that they knew it was their purpose, you know, so that they would willingly...
Yeah, I love that expression from people who claim to be sympathetic or compassionate to animals, people typically who, you know, they'll rescue dogs and cats their whole lives, and then you say, well, what about chickens? I go, well, that's what they're raised for. What a pathetic excuse. That's what they're raised for?
Doesn't make the pain any less.
Yeah, if you were raised as a slave in, you know, in some tropical island, would that make it right? And I don't think so.
Only if we eat you in the end. So,
right.
Yeah. So your book coming out is Bizarro and Other Strange Manifestations of the Art of Dan Peraro, and you also have a comedy tour that you're ready to kick off in the Los Angeles area in Hollywood on the 13th, April 13th.
Yeah, this is something I've been doing for a few years. I put together a one-man show about my cartoon career, more or less, a few years ago, and I started playing it in different cities where I had a base, and it's been a lot of fun. It's gotten more professional and it's become sort of, I guess, more complicated and interesting over the years. And so this year I'm mounting more or less a new version of the show, and it goes on tour, April 13th. It starts in Los Angeles. And there's a decent amount of animal rights stuff in it, and once again, I struggle to find ways to present this material in an entertaining and humorous manner that does not come off preachy. And I think I think I'm coming close. I've got an animated video in the show, and a handful of stand-up shtick, and so it's that's a part of the show too. It's not the main part of the show, but it is a part of the show, as are my political views and everything else, because it's a show. What the hell, it's a show. It's a one-man show about me, so I can put whatever I want in there.
That's how I feel every week on a weekly basis here. It's like, hey,
yeah.
I'm paying for the time. Let me say something for the animals here. It's called the Bizarro Baloney Show, huh? Baloney,
right.
Comedy for a cause.
Yep.
How did baloney get in there? What was that?
That's kind of how the show opens. How did the term baloney get into the? You know, everybody's always saying that to me. Dan, you're a vegan. You don't eat baloney. Why is baloney? Well, and here's the explanation. Baloney has two meanings in our society. Number one is a lie, a falsehood, a misrepresentation. The second meaning is a lie, a falsehood, a misrepresentation in the form of food. If bologna and all forms of lunch meat aren't a lie or a misrepresentation, I don't know what is. Nobody knows what's in that crap. So the show just goes from there. That's kind of what cartoonists do, is we sort of pick out the bologna. God knows there's plenty of bologna in all our lives. And we sort of spot the bologna in our everyday lives, draw it in another form, and in a way that you can recognize, and feed it back to you. And you look at the cartoon, and you go, "Oh yeah, that's just like me. Hey, I do that. That's just like your Uncle Jimmy." You know, whatever it is that people think when they look at cartoons, and it makes you giggle at yourself.
Yeah. Well, we aspire to phony baloney sometimes here as vegans, I suppose. There used to be used to be a sandwich. You know, they came out with something called phony baloney. I don't see it out there anymore. So I see that the New York Times calls your comedy for a the Bizarro Baloney Show, Comedy for a Cause. The New York Times says it's a shrewd tour of an artist's imagination, and it says it's well applauded.
Yes, it's wildly applauded.
Oh, wildly applauded.
If I may be so. Oh,
excuse.
I was reviewed by the New York Times during a fringe festival here in the Fringe Festival here in New York, which is all kinds of new. Comedy and shows and stuff. I knew they were in the audience. It scared me to death because you know what a New York Times review can do for you, good or bad. So I was thrilled when the review came out in the paper and they liked the show. The reason they say it was wildly applauded is because it is a really popular show. People love the show. And nobody's more surprised or excited about that than I am. But you know, I've often described the show as something that a 13-year-old might put together in their garage on a fairly decent paper route budget.
Oh.
And that is the show is a lot of goofy, strange things that I think are funny.
Mm-hmm.
I show cartoons, I show videos that I've made, you know, written and made videos of myself. There's puppets, there's songs, there's costumes. You know, it's just all a bunch of crazy stuff that I've dreamed up and want to do in front of strangers. I'm not sure why, but and people end up really loving the show. It just goes over like gangbusters. And afterwards, I hang out in the lobby and talk to people and sign books and draw pictures on napkins or whatever else somebody might bring by that they want me to deface. And it ends up being a great way to commune with the fans, because that's one of the worst things, or maybe one of the only bad things about being a cartoonist, is you rarely get to meet your audience.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear them laughing, you don't see them smiling. So it's really nice to do a live show where you can kind of have a little one-on-one time with the people who appreciate your humor.
Sure. This is the Bizarro Baloney Show, Comedy for a Cause. And Los Angeles, it's April 13th in Hollywood at the Improv Olympic West, the I.O. West in Hollywood. And tickets are on sale at wanttickets.com, wanttickets.com, wanttickets.com. So the show kicks off April 13th. That's a Thursday in Los Angeles.
I should warn people that the tickets for the LA show don't actually show up on that website until April 1st, which is what, Sunday?
Yes, and so we're recording.
Saturday.
We're recording for Sunday now, so they're on sale now.
They're on sale now.
Yes.
Exactly. That's what I meant to say all along.
Right. And you're in San Francisco April 17th and 18th at The Marsh, Mill Valley April 19th, 142 Throckmorton Theater, Berkeley April 20th at La Peña Center, Santa Cruz April 21st at the Rio Theater. You know, we're on in Los Angeles, and we're on the Air America affiliate in San Francisco, playing Sunday nights at 6 p.m. there.
Hey, the reason it's called Comedy for a Cause,
mm-hmm,
because all of the profits from the performances after my travel expenses go to animal rescue organizations. So I keep none of the money from these shows.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
okay.
That's why it's called
we love to hear when people don't keep money.
That's right.
Now, I saw. Just one last thing. We have about a minute left, but I saw it mentioned that you have secret symbols in your cartoons. I don't know. There might be a firecracker or slices of pie or bunny rabbits.
There's a number of of odd little drawings that I will throw in my cartoons in strange places for no reason. I started this years ago because I thought it was fun. When I was a kid, Highlights magazine was always my favorite thing to look at when I would go to the doctor's office or whatever. And you know, they got those games in there where it says find the hairbrush, find the shoe, find the the donkey, whatever, you know, it was hidden. And I thought that was fun, so I started doing it kind of as a tribute to that. I would just throw little things in there. And then people started writing to me saying, am I the only one who sees this little upside-down bird in all your cartoons? What's it about? So there are explanations for all the symbols, what they mean, and the deep philosophical reason for them on Bizarro.com, as well as all the tour information from my comedy shows on Bizarro.com, too. So pretty much anything that anybody wants to know about me,
and you can see a lot of and you can see a lot of the cartoons there also, and it leads you to a lot of the animal rights cartoons. So we're looking forward. I see Daryl Hannah's a big fan of yours. She's saying, everybody come out to see Dan Peraro. Again, LA, April 13th, Improv Olympic, IO West in Hollywood, San Francisco, April 17th and 18th at the Marsh, and the whole schedule is at bizarro.com. You want tickets? Go to wanttickets.com. Dan, I really appreciate you being here, and continued success for you, and good luck with the comedy show. Look forward to seeing you, and it's wonderful that you apply your humor to our cause, because no matter what a wonderful syndicated cartoonist you would be, if there were not the animal cause issue here, I don't know, I'd be talking to someone from PETA now, so, you know.
Well, thanks very much. I had a ball being on the show, and you're doing a great job with this thing, too, so keep it up.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it. Okay, that's Dan Peraro, so we'll look for him in Los Angeles in the L.A. area on April 13th. Okay, a little music. I think I go into the calendar here, Gary. I'm going along the cue sheet with you here. Gary kind of went for Leo today. Creating his own music format, as my air staff used to do for me. And whenever I was a program director, I'd leave the building and they'd play their own music. Hated to fire those people. It was the worst part about being a program director, firing people, you know. No, the worst part was when I got fired. Yeah, now I remember. Okay. Okay, there's a protest against the torture of domesticated animals. South Bay in Defense of Animals will be protesting the rodeo, and that's this coming Friday, April 7th, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Cow Palace. Signs and leaflets will be provided. And contact Alfredo Cuba to get involved, and his email is bekind2animals@comcast.net. That's the letter B, the word kind, the number 2, animals@comcast.net. And let's see what's going on with the San Francisco Vegetarian Society. Dining out Saturday, April 22nd, Medicine New Shojin East Station, 6 p.m., 161 Sutter Street between Montgomery and Kearney near Union Square. It's a unique Japanese-style food based on Zen monks of Japan, featuring a seasonal cuisine called New Shojin, incorporating Western nutritional ideas with traditional menus with exotic names and ingredients that I'll probably mispronounce. Developed over half a millennium ago, appetizers range from intriguing items like jade nuggets, tempura of natto-filled shiso leaves with lemon and sea salt. I'm just hungry. I just want to read about food now. The salads are just as interesting, featuring warm spinach persimmon, baby spinach tossed in warm ponzu dressing. Fuyu persimmon, shiitake, toasted cashews, soups and noodle dishes, and eggplant and Brussels sprouts. So that looks pretty good. It's limited to just 10 people. So RSVP at 415-273-5481. Free video night at the Red Victorian Peace Cafe on the last Friday of the month. That means Friday, April 28th, 7 p.m. Vegan food available before the show. This will be Truth or Dairy, a vintage yet humorous and educational look at the vegan lifestyle. It's just over 20 minutes long. Check out the Veggie Hotline, 415-273-5481, or visit the website sfvs.org for the San Francisco Vegetarian Society. Okay, coming up in just a few minutes, we'll talk to Sangeeta Kumar, who was traveling with the Animal Liberation Show from PETA, but I do believe I should get to my spot break here and talk a bit about the folks who are making this show possible. And You know, I just saw an amazing article in the LA Times within the last week, the genetic engineering of pigs. So they're crossbreeding pigs with genes with earthworms so that pigs will produce omega fatty acids, which you don't normally get from land animals. And, you know, people, of course, think you have to get that from fish. And so consequently, they're ingesting a lot of the toxins that you get from fish and the mercuries, the PCBs and all of that, and depleting the oceans in the process. And if your omega-3 is a little fishy, well, too bad if it is, because then you are actually depleting the oceans of marine life. And, you know, all of those toxins that accumulate in the marine environment. Well, now you can benefit from the original vegan omega-3 DHA supplement, Omega Zen 3 from Nutru, N-U-T-R-U. Yes, Nutru. Omega Zen 3, available now at all Southern California Whole Foods markets. It provides you with your omega-3s in an all-natural, once-a-day formulation derived from natural, plant-based marine sources, grown in controlled, pollution-free conditions in a totally vegan format with no animal contaminants. In fact, Nutru's Omega Zen 3 has been evaluated by the Environmental Defense Organization Oceans Program as a best choice product, with test results showing no mercury, no PCBs, dioxins, or other similar contaminants. What you do get is a highly concentrated extra strength omega-3 DHA with a special nutraceutical composition that has twice the active ingredient of omega-3 DHA and is currently under evaluation as a leading nutraceutical for enhanced cognitive and cardiovascular function. It's right there on the label, Omega Zen 3, available at all Southern California Whole Foods locations. And you know, it seems to be vital to the to brain function, heart function. So check it out. Visit Nutru.com, N-U-T-R-U.com, Nutru.com for your omega-3s. Get them the right way, okay? Do we have that little drop-in?
Why does Canada let the baby seals be killed? Shame on you, Canada.
Ah, yes. And it is, a particularly sad time right now as, some call it a seal hunt, but when in reality it's a massacre of babies. Yeah, shame on Canada. The largest massacre of mammals, well, after the massacre of food mammals, animals, about close to 350,000 babies are being killed in Canada. There are boycotts of Canadian seafood, boycotts of dead lobster restaurants, red lobster restaurants, well, the blood is on the ice. The blood is on the hands of Canada. It's really shameful. Perhaps you'd like to call the Prime Minister of Canada to let him know how you feel. He has a toll-free number. It's 866-808-8407. 866-808-8407. His fax, that's Stephen Harper, the Prime Minister of Canada. Stephen Harper, the fax is 613-755-2001. 613-755-2001. It is humans at their worst, truly at their worst. And then we also heard from Captain Paul Watson a few weeks back on this program that the seals are making their way into the bottles for their, they're considered the omega fatty acids too. So you could be having seals in your omega fatty acids. What you need to be doing is going vegan, truly, truly vegan. And it's very easy. There's a restaurant, in fact, called Truly Vegan. Head on over there. You'll see what we mean. The food is great. No animal cruelty. No threat to your health like you get from animal foods and, you know, a diet of death. And you know, you're saving the environment, too. You know, I, as a vegan, I only need 10,000 gallons of water a year to grow my food. A meat eater needs 320,000 gallons, so 32 of me can be fed, you know, to one vegan. And the vegans eat very well. Check it out at Truly, 5907 Hollywood Boulevard in Hollywood. Truly delivers, Truly caters. The number is 323-466-7958. It's a wonderful menu running from breakfast to late in the evening, soups and salads and sandwiches and burgers and wraps. And I love the vegan sushi there. It's great noodle dishes. And it says right on the menu, we want to make a positive and healthful contribution to society by using products that are animal-free. We're making a statement to ourselves and others that we're conscious eaters acting toward the greater good of all beings. And that's Truly, 5907 Hollywood Boulevard, right there off the Hollywood Boulevard exit off the 101. Check it out. It is Truly.
Vegans are number one at number two. Meat makes you constipated.
Isn't that the truth, huh? Okay, there's a book a lot of people are talking about right now. It's called Animals and the Afterlife. Animals and the Afterlife from Kim Sheridan. And this is a book a lot of people ask the question, do animals have souls? What happens when they die? And a lot of us have problems dealing with bereavement at the loss of a loved one. Well, this book is one that helps. It's Animals and the Afterlife, True Stories of Our Best Friend's Journey Beyond Death. It's called a must-read masterpiece by Celebrity News Magazine. And it's the Book of the Year Award winner from Forward. So it's the Book of the Year. And Jack Canfield, co-author of Chicken Soup for the Pet Lover's Soul, or mock chicken soup. I'll put the word mock chicken in there. Huh? Kim Sheridan has the ability to open minds and touch hearts. Presented in an intelligent and down-to-earth manner, this book will surely touch the lives of animal lovers everywhere. This is a quote from Susan Chernak McElroy, author of Animals as Teachers and Healers. Kim has done a lovely, heart-touching job with a mysterious and controversial topic. It's her genuineness and passion that lift the topic of animals all the way to kingdom come, where their souls most surely reside. Much, much here for reflection, for insight, and for inner peace for all who have loved and lost an animal family member. It's Animals and the Afterlife. You can go to the website. It's animalsandtheafterlife.com. It's available in bookstores throughout the U.S. and the U.K., Canada, Australia, and South Africa, or you can call 1-800-654-5126, 1-800-654-5126. We'll have Kim Sheridan on the show within the next few weeks to talk about this book, Kim Sheridan, the book Animals and the Afterlife, and the website animalsandtheafterlife.com.
Animals. Please make donations to this show to help make it a better world. Click donate at goveganradio.com.
I like that announcement. Okay. One more thing. Spread and dip and spread and dip. No, it's not some vegan calisthenics routine. It's what I've been enjoying lately from Toby's Family Foods. Anyone who has listened to Go Vegan Radio knows what a foodie I am, as I just recently wandered around the Natural Products Expo. We'll talk about that in the weeks to come. I said Follow Your Heart has a great sour cream, vegan sour cream coming out. A rice ice cream. It was a carrot cake flavor. So I love discovering great new vegan foods and telling everyone about them. So recently I was wandering the aisles of a Whole Foods, and in the refrigerated section in the deli area, I saw four rows of Toby's tofu pate spread and dip. I saw roasted garlic and red pepper, mild jalapeno, classic lemon dill, and martini olive. All sounded great, and I thought for Whole Foods to give so much space to a new item, somebody must think it's a taste winner, huh? And I read the label, and all four of them read vegan to me. The tofu was organic, so I took one home, and I just had to call Toby's and tell them, well, what a winner they had. It turns out the Toby's is a small family business out of Eugene, Oregon, which she started up after her pate was so popular at the Oregon Country Fair, and there are five varieties of the pate. Four are vegan. I found the one that's not suitable for vegans is the one labeled original, but totally vegan and totally delicious are roasted garlic and red pepper, mild jalapeno, classic lemon dill, and martini olive. Crackers and chips are calling out the name Toby's. Great on bagels and in sandwiches, and you'll want this wonderful spread and dip at all of your gatherings. Take it from me. You just have to try one. And Toby's agrees. So don't say I never did anything for you. I've arranged for you to try one for free, a free container of Toby's tofu pate. All you have to do is call 1-800-600-TOFU and ask for it. 1-800-600-TOFU. And just say you want your free container of your Toby's dip. 1-800-600-8638. Or you can email info@tobysfamilyfoods.com. T-O-B-Y-S, familyfoods.com. You'll enjoy it. You'll love it. Check it out. Try it. Okay. Ooh, time is flying again. I see. Moving along. Oh, check out one of the world's most powerful anti-aging foods. Go to the website, govegan.freelife.com. You'll see why Dr. Earl Mindell says it's his most important health discovery in 40 years. Himalayan goji juice. Read all about it. Order it at govegan.freelife.com. Whoa. Look where the time is going. Okay, well, Sangeeta Kumar is on the line. Sangeeta is an old friend. We go back years ago to San Diego and demonstrations on behalf of animals there. And eventually we wound up creating festivals. First San Diego Fall Fest, and then we came up to L.A. and started World Fest, an event that survives to this day. We started it. It used to be in October, the beginning of October, to coincide with Gandhi's birthday and World Vegetarian Day. And now it's part of the Earth Day celebration in the Los Angeles area in Woodley Park. And you can go to worldfestevents.com for that from our past. And I just recently found out that the Animal Liberation Tour going around the country had a controversial welcome in of all places, Berkeley. And Sangeeta, welcome to Go Vegan. It's great to have you on the show.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to talking to you about the exhibit and all the wonderful things that we're doing on college campuses.
Yeah, so we probably have about 5 minutes here. What is the Animal Liberation Project?
Well, the Animal Liberation Project is a huge exhibit that juxtaposes images of human suffering and animal suffering in the hopes to get people to recognize that all oppression is wrong, no matter who the victims are. So this exhibit we take to universities around the country. We've gone to 13 different schools so far, and it's a very popular exhibit. We often get front page coverage in school papers. Students are bright thinkers who are really getting the message that, you know, no matter who the victim is, oppression is wrong. And oftentimes they're turning vegetarian and vegan on the spot because of the exhibit.
Oh, that's great. And, oh, it's at UCLA tomorrow, on Monday. Tomorrow.
On Monday, yes.
Yes.
Definitely. From 10 to 5 at Bruin Plaza.
10 to 5, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Bruin Plaza. That's tomorrow on the UCLA campus, tomorrow being Monday. You got on the Bill O'Reilly show. Well, you didn't, but I guess there was a protest, an unexpected protest in of all places, Berkeley.
Yes. Well, first I must say that for the first couple of days, the exhibit was very well taken. Hundreds of students came by, took materials, asked questions, even took our audio tour, which talks about the history behind the images that we're featuring, which your viewers can see at peta.org/animalliberation. They can actually listen to the audio tour online. And a few students were upset by their own interpretation of the exhibit, and unfortunately tore the exhibit down and yelled obscenities at activists out of all places, but UC Berkeley. And it was very, very surprising, and it made me think, you know, what has college activism come to? You know, where are the days where students actually stood up and fought for something that they believed in, whether it was controversial or not?
Mm. Well, it's unfortunate that, you know, it seems to me that if people look at the exhibit, some felt offended, right? They felt it was racially offensive. I don't think that there's any intent at racial, you know, being racially offensive here. I think it's that...
I was actually inspired by the words of Dick Gregory, who's a civil rights activist. And he asked us to be abolitionists for the animals, because they can't speak for themselves and they can't demand their own freedom. And then, in his own words, he said that when I see these animals, I think slavery. They represent the same domination and oppression that we have fought against for so long. They wear the same shackles and chains.
So a correct interpretation would have been to recognize the connection among oppression of all beings, and one who has been oppressed should appreciate the oppression of today and be against it.
Exactly. And I think a lot of the anger really comes from people not wanting to see their role as an oppressor. You know, that they're complicit in the oppression of billions of animals when they go out and eat a sausage or a hamburger, they go buy fur where animal-tested products, and it's not a very easy thing for people to, you know, come to grips with, and it's understanding, but this exhibit certainly shakes people's conscience, you know, riles them out of their complicity.
Sangeeta, we're just about out of time. No one chooses his or her skin color. Perhaps no one chooses the species into which he or she is born, and certainly shouldn't have to suffer for it. Tomorrow it's at UCLA. People can see it at PETA.org. Thanks for being on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com.
Thanks for having me, Bob.